1:30, and we have church and preach messages just like we do here. We sing these songs and we preach these messages. Yesterday, last night, I preached Arby's message from last week in Lewiston. It wasn't as good as Arby did, but I give it my best shot. So if you know some folks that are looking for a church and looking for some friends, one of the things that we do and we work hard at is just making life better. And we're doing that down there in Lewiston at our second site at our campus down there. So thanks for being here, Mark and Danielle. Appreciate that. We're in this series called Rise Up. Prior to Easter, we're talking about the cross. It was titled Crosswalk. And how does the cross affect our life? What's supposed to change in our life because of the cross of Jesus Christ? And we talked about that for 6 weeks or so. And then we had the great Easter resurrection celebration. And then we launched this series called Rise Up. The first one was the restoration of Peter. And it was so cool to talk about how that Peter felt like he had disqualified himself and didn't know even what to do next. Even though he loved God, he felt so condemned. But Jesus spent a lot of those days after his resurrection restoring Peter. And you and I have so much hope, and God loves to restore us. Restoration's a little bit of a theme we're working on around here. If you need any restoration in your life, the resurrection of Jesus declares you can be restored, you can be renewed. Last week, Arby talked about the four T's of stewardship, and it was really a message about our authority and our dominion that we lost in the garden because of that original sin. And we've been limping through the generations and the millennia since then. But after the resurrection of Jesus, dominion and authority has been restored to us. And we're not victims just trying to get by and just trying to get through. You don't have to let time or anything else mess with you, control you, overwhelm you, and overcome you. You're supposed to rise up and have this authority and strength in your life. And it was just, hopefully you walked away last week going, I can overcome because of Jesus and the resurrection of the cross and what he did there from the cross. I can overcome. Authority's been restored to me. Today we're talking about you got it. And we're reading this story in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. You know, they had just come through the day of Pentecost, and 120 people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in tongues. They come pouring out of the upper room. There's miraculous things happening. There's amazing things going on because the power of God has been given to humanity again. We've been restored in that. And here Peter and John are on their way to the temple, and they're going to go pray. How many of you know it's a good thing to pray? How many of you know it's a good thing to come to church and pray? It's a good thing to pray at home. It's a good thing to pray over your meal. All God's children love to pray, or should learn to love to pray. It's hard sometimes, but prayer's really awesome. Well, let's read the text in Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they'd laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, when seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So the guy's saying, you know, he's standing at Walmart with his sign, you know, we'll beg for food, or whatever this sign says, you know. Usually it's, I need some money, I'm in trouble, I'm down on my luck, I need some help. And this guy had been doing this for a long time, asking for some help. Verse 5 said, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God when they knew that it was he who sat begging for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I really want us to take a look at this text and realize we also have Jesus with us, in us. Peter and John said, I don't have silver and gold. And we can testify to that, some of us, right? I don't got any of that stuff. But what I do have is I have Jesus, and I'm going to give him to you. And Jesus powerfully, miraculously met this man's needs. Immediately, the guy received strength. Man, when Jesus comes into our lives, the weak becomes strong. We should write a song about that or something, huh? He's like the cornerstone or something, maybe something like that. This weak man, since his birth, had been begging, and people knew him, and everybody knew him. You know, God loves to be glorified by changing people's lives. If we're serving a God that used to do stuff, and we're just kind of museum goers, read the Bible as a historical piece, and someday God's going to come back and fix the planet. Why are we even here today? I mean, that's pretty hopeless. That's not who Jesus is, and that's not what we're doing here. We can be just like Peter and John. We can look at people and whatever need they have, we can say, you know, I don't have what you think you need, but I do have what you really need. You really need Jesus. But you know what? You can't give somebody Jesus if you don't have him. You can't. If Peter and John hadn't met Jesus after his resurrection, and if they hadn't been restored, and if they hadn't been in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and if all of those things hadn't happened, they would not have been able to help the man that day. There's a lot of times that you and I have appointments with God where God's trying to fill us with his power. He's trying to fill us with his essence. He's trying to fill us with hope and strength, so that we can get our baseline covered, so we can get our needs covered, so we can get our stuff healed, and then we can go share that with our world. See, if Jesus hasn't done it for us, we don't have any faith or hope that he's going to do it for them. But when he's done it for you, you can be like Peter or John. You know what? I don't have silver and gold, but I do have Jesus. And I'm going to give him to you. That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. I love the fact that this weak man immediately received strength. I love that. Jesus told his disciples as he ascended, he said, now I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait for this promise. I've given you a promise. I've been talking about the Holy Spirit for a long time now. John 17, 16, I'm preparing you. I've been talking all about it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit, he can't come. And you guys really need him. You need to know that your body is this temple of the Holy Spirit and he lives inside of you. That's what's going to be happening. And when I go away, you're not going to lose something. You're going to gain something because you're going to have my Spirit inside of you. Sometimes we feel so limited. We feel like God's so far away, and My problems are so big. Jesus really wanted to remedy that whole deal. He said, God isn't far away. He's inside you. He's nigh you. He's very close to you. He's not far away. And your problems, they aren't that hard to fix. Right? Hey, this guy's been lame from his birth. You say, now that is hard to fix. Yeah, one prayer, one act of faith, and the guy went leaping and dancing and praising God. Man, I've been wearing a boot on my leg for 6 weeks. And I went to the doctor, and we actually determined the boot didn't work. I felt like the woman with the issue of blood. You spent all your money, you went to the doctors, and you were none the better, you know? And so I just said, can I take the boot off? I hate this thing. And he goes, well, what's the worst that can happen? You're going to have more pain. And I go, exactly, let's get rid of the boot. So I took the boot off. It took me about 3 hours to learn how to walk without that boot. I mean, I looked like a brand new calf born, you know. My leg was all wobbly, and I kept going in circles, you know. And Mom and Dad thought I was going to fall down, and I thought I was too. And this guy was lame from his birth, and he immediately jumped up and went leaping and dancing and praising God. You know, when God does something, he can do this immediate, powerful, complete work. That's what I love about Jesus. He wants to do this complete work inside of us. So Jesus told him, go to Jerusalem and wait until you receive power. Wait till you get it. Don't do anything till you get it. And when you get it, rise up and go share it. And I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is an it. I'm talking, the it is power. The it is power. And power comes through a person. Maybe we should write a song about the Trinity. Sing that. I believe in God the Father. Somebody should write that song, right? We do have God the Father. We do have God the Son. And we have God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, it's time for the Holy Spirit to take front stage. It's called the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Some people think the gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, ceased when the last apostle of Jesus died. I think that's the craziest thing you could ever believe. Some people don't think God heals today, or God does miracles today, or that God baptizes people in the Holy Spirit today, or that God will fill you with His goodness and His grace today. Some people don't, they think all that ceased. They think prophecy and tongues and interpretation and healing and miracles and gifts of faith and words of knowledge and words of wisdom, they think all of that ceased. They think prophetic ministry ceased and apostolic ministry ceased. And we still like pastors some days. And evangelists, kind of. They're a little weird, but we'll put up with them. Teachers, everybody loves a teacher. Come on, we love teachers. Unless they give us a bad grade. But those apostles and prophets, those are weird folks, you know. We don't believe in them. When Jesus left the planet, he sent his Spirit back. I'm here all week, lots of days during the week. He's not mystically in this building. This isn't the temple of the Holy Spirit, this building. Your body is. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to get you to know today is the power of God to heal, restore, meet needs, overcome, get victory is here. You have the power inside you. If you have Jesus, The Bible says the Holy Spirit dwells in you. That's pretty powerful. Then we believe that in addition to salvation, you can experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's called being filled. Back in the day, we called it being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was just thinking about our baptismal tank today. I turned the hose on, and then I left, and I got distracted. That tank was filled. I mean, our guitar players were back there going, what do I do with this? Dude, it's, yeah, good thing we had an overflow thing way at the top, or I'd be standing in water right now. But have you ever filled something? I mean, filled it to where you're overflowing. God says, that's what I want to do in your life. I don't want you to have a little bit of Jesus or a little bit of the Spirit of God. I want to fill you. I want to fill you. How many of you want just a little bit of the good stuff? And like just a little piece of cake? Come on. Are you kidding me? What's up with these little ice cream things that you can buy in a bag and a little wooden spoon? What's up with that? Give me the half gallon, you know, and a big old spoon. Who wants a little bit of the good stuff? I just want a little bit of love in my marriage. Really? I just want to look a little bit good. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't want just a little bit of Jesus. You don't want just a little bit of the Holy Spirit. You don't want just a little bit of God, the Father. You want everything. You want it all. I'm kind of one of those guys. I'm kind of like, if two's good, four's better. You know, that's kind of, yeah, Kari's always saying, read the instructions. You're only supposed to take two. But four's better. Oh, I just need a little bit of Jesus so I can miss hell and get to heaven. And Christianity is supposed to be a lot better than that. You want to do a lot more than just miss hell and get to heaven. If that's the threshold of greatness, you need to get a new dream, a new vision. God says, I want to give you life in that more abundantly. Jesus says, Satan, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's really good at it. He's been at it a while. But I've come that you might have life in that more abundantly. And that's not just someday later. That's today. And what I want you to know is you can rise up because you have God inside you. What are you battling today? What are you facing today? Maybe it's a from birth issue. Maybe it's a weakness that's been hindering you and just messing with you your whole life. Maybe it's insecurity, abuse, whatever. What are you battling today? You can rise up. You can overcome that. The God that spoke this world into creation is inside you. And you're going to let that little thing mess you up? You're going to get an attitude about that? That little thing that's in your head right now, that little thing that's complicating your life, you're going to let that rule you and control you and hold you down and keep you begging for the rest of your life? Come on. Inside of you, you have God. He's more than enough. Rise up. Jesus rose from the grave to put his Spirit inside you. Inside you. If it's just mental, I believe Jesus died, rose, I'm saved, I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart. If it's just the Romans 10 mental basic salvation thing, then I should just hold people under when I baptize them. Just hold them. I think Christine was worried about that. She was not going down. I don't know if you guys could see that out there or not, but this girl was not going down. Maybe she's heard me talk about that before. I don't know. But if it's just about salvation, let's all get baptized and I'll just hold you under till the bubbles quit. But no, God wants you restored, full of His Spirit, strong, and He wants you to be as sons and daughters, as warriors, marching out in your generation and overcoming and blessing the world. I better read some more verses, huh? Man, I got lots of time. Y'all got lots of time? Let's look at verse 11. Now the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or our godliness we made this man walk?" Peter's going, "It's not us. It's not us. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." Peter's dealing with a little bit of their stuff. How do you know that God deals with your stuff? So, yeah, you had to go there, Peter. Come on, can't you just talk about the good stuff? You don't have to talk about that, do you? "You denied the Holy One, the just. You asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the Prince of Life." I'm just glad Peter didn't stop there. Sometimes in church we stop there. "You're bad. You're really bad. Don't you feel bad? Go home. You're bad." Get out of here with your bad self.